Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life.
And welcome to 2015, and thank you for tuning in to Atlanta Life Radio presents There is Life After Layoff. Join the conversation as our show host, Allie, shares her emotional journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for information and for inspirational purposes only. Now, as we say each and every week, grab your journal, your iPad, and or any other mobile device so that you can take notes as tonight's conversation speaks to you. Now join me in a virtual applause as we bring our show host, Allie, on air. Allie, take it away.
Thank you, Melody, and hello and Happy New Year once again to everyone. I hope everyone had a blessed and restful holiday season as I did, and I'm sure Melody did as well. I want to thank you for joining me and the There is Life After Layoff radio team for another episode of There is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I take this journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. It has truly been a time of truth and transparency, but most of all, a time of growth in my life. And along with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who helped to guide the conversation, our goal is to encourage you to explore new and uplifting ways to rediscover and walk in your life's purpose. Now, together, we will support one another through this journey. And that is why I invite you to join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And please, you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And as always, if you wish to contact us directly, you can do that via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please continue to follow and connect with us on social media. You can find me on Twitter at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. I'm also on Instagram at #AllieWard45 and on Pinterest at AllieWard65. And please remember to also like us on Facebook by searching at There is Life After Layoff, and Atlanta Life Radio can be found on Facebook at Atlanta Life Radio. So on behalf of myself and the entire There is Life After Layoff radio team, we sincerely say thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now, once again, happy New Year to all of our faithful and loyal listeners. And we're back after taking some much-needed time off to enjoy the holidays with our families. And I'm so excited about tonight's show because I know that it will bless you and inspire all of our listeners this evening. My guest tonight is Miss Maura Gale. She's an actress, an author, an evangelist, a creative visionary, and a midwife. And you're probably thinking right about now, okay, that's an interesting combination, but it's not what you think. And in a moment, our guest will join us, and she will tell you what all of that means. But first, I want to always encourage our listeners, if you want to join the conversation, you can always call in at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into our on-air host queue. And we will begin taking your calls after the break around 7:30. And just one more quick announcement, and then we'll jump right into our program tonight. If you happen to miss a particular show, you can always catch up on what you've missed through the Atlanta Life Radio website, again, at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And it's so easy for you to catch up on what you've missed because we do have an automatic player box on the programming page. Just click on the show you want to listen to, and it'll start playing for you automatically. And we are also on iTunes, which is very convenient for those of you who are on the go. All you have to do is search for Atlanta Life Radio under podcast, and there you will find us. All of our past recorded shows are available right now, and after tonight's live show airs, you will be able to upload it within the half hour. And again, we do sincerely say thank you for continuing to not only tune into the live show, but also on catching up on what you may have missed. Now, we're ready to get started with this, what I know is going to be a powerful show. Our guest, she's someone who I actually was fortunate enough to meet through our affiliation with NAPW, which is the National Association of Professional Women. And as I mentioned earlier, she is an author, she's an evangelist, she's also a noted actress, and she's appeared in several film and television projects, and one of which you might be familiar with is that she co-starred in the ABC movie Their Eyes Were Watching God, which was produced by Oprah Winfrey, and it starred Halle Berry. So those of you may be familiar with that movie, but that's just one of her many, many accomplishments in film and TV. And, you know, I can go on, but I'm going to stop right here because I want her to be able to share her story and a little bit more about her accomplishments with us. So it is certainly, without further ado, that it is my absolute pleasure to welcome to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, Ms. Mara Gale. So thank you for joining me this evening, Mara.
Wow, thank you for allowing me to be a part of your show. I'm excited about what we're going to do today. Thank you, Allie, for having me to bless your audience, your listeners, and to just watch everybody give a due date to that baby so that we can walk in our purpose. It's 2015. We don't have any more excuses. Let's
That's
get
right.
move on and get it done.
Let's get
so,
it done.
So I thank you for edifying me the way you did, and I'll share briefly, you know, exactly what I do. I'm an actress, an author, and evangelist, as my sister Allie said, and mm-hmm. I am also a midwife. And that's not the hospital kind that actually help you deliver a natural baby.
Right.
I'm a midwife, and I help people give birth to their visions, ideas, mm-hmm. and their dreams, those things that are in their belly that have been dormant and waiting to come forward, or people have been struggling with how do they launch that business or how do they write that book. Well, that's one of the gifts that I believe I've been equipped to share with people and kind of walk them through that and coach and tell them when to push, pray until something happens, and
right.
when to hold off, and when it's just breaky pains, and when it's real labor pains and contractions. So I've been so blessed to be able to watch so many people give birth to books and CDs and businesses, Allie. It's rewarding because you know that those products sitting on a shelf aren't going to
mm-hmm.
change life. They aren't going to tap into a heart. They aren't going to motivate a person to get from where they are to where they need to be, because we do not want people to go to the grave totally full and totally with those ideas, and nobody gets to benefit from them. So
right,
the more
right.
books, the more CDs, the more businesses, the more creative projects and ventures that people actually are able to walk in, the more people are set free, the more people that are living in purpose,
mm-hmm.
the more people that are called and walking and anointed to do what God called them to do, and the more lives that will be changed and inspired.
Yes.
So I love when people give birth. I love it. I get excited. It just it excites me, Allie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, guys, didn't I tell you it wasn't what you thought it was? We've already started. We haven't even touched the surface yet of what this powerful woman is filled with, and how she helps people birth their visions and their ideas. And I told you, get ready, because we almost didn't. I just have to be really truthful and transparent. We almost didn't know if we were going to be on air tonight, because the devil knew he was about to get a black eye, and he's already turning the other cheek right now.
Defeated. He's defeated again.
Yes.
That old illegitimate child, he always trying to creep up in our business. But not tonight. We done prayed that gone, and we done made it happen. Thank
yes.
you to Melinda and you guys
yes.
for pressing, because
yes.
perseverance is a strength, and it's real, and it's
absolutely.
The word, and we stood on the word, and I knew it was going to be all right. I was like,
absolutely.
He came to pass, not to stay. He going to make a way.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, you've kind of shared a little bit about us, about yourself, excuse me. As you know, my journey where I'm at now, There Is Life After Layoff, was birthed out of my layoff experience and how I chose to deal with that negative impact. I turned it around into a peaceful situation for me personally. Now, can you share with us some of the challenges that you may have faced on your journey to who you've become and where you are today?
Absolutely, I can share. You know, one of the things that I believe, Allie, you know, without failure, setbacks, you can never really have a clear focus and a set up. So when I gave birth to my anointed agenda, for example, and there are several times that I've had labor pains, I've miscarried the baby that I think God wanted me to give birth to spiritually, because distractions, you know, will get in your way. So one of the major things that I could share with your audience is when I was giving birth to the Anointed Agenda, which is one of my ministry products that have been around for 16 years now, I gave birth to it, and I hired a printer. And the printer ended up kind of pushing the deadlines back. And my product is time sensitive. It's it's primarily sold between November and January. And after that, you know, no more. So he pushed the deadlines back, and I was, you know, patient. I'm a Christian. I gave him a little break. It happened again and again until finally the printer said that they couldn't complete it at all. And I became just numb. I didn't know how to move because I clearly thought I had heard God. But I'm going to share with you some important tools that you need to do when you're trying to give birth and when you're trying to actually launch out into the deep waters. One of the instructions that I heard that I actually balked at, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me to charge the deposit to put down on my planner. And I'm a woman that loves to live debt-free. That's the goal, debt-free living. And so there was no way I wanted to charge the deposit because I had the deposit and easily did it. But I clearly heard the Holy Spirit say charge it. Well, listening audience, I want to share with you that one step of obedience set me on a trajectory to be able to publish this for 16 years. That printer, when they decided they were not going to publish my book because the owner of the company had gotten sick and my money was already tied up, thank goodness it was charged, my credit card company, because I had a contract, put the amount in default, which meant I never had to pay it, which then meant that the money I had in my bank account, I still had enough to actually finish the project.
Wow.
Somebody say hallelujah and shout amen.
Yes, amen.
Because God is faithful. He knows. He knew the end. Wow. This is what I tell people. God has already finished designing the place he's putting you in. He has already given birth to your solution before you ever become pregnant with a problem.
Yeah,
now I need to repeat that for some of you. God has already given birth to your solution before you ever became pregnant
with
a problem. And so he knew I needed to charge that because he knew the end before the beginning. He knew that they were going to set me up and not be able to finish my book. And if I had paid them cash, I would have lost it. I wouldn't have had any money to finish it. But that was only one hurdle, Alicia. How many times you know that the devil, he come to steal, kill, and destroy, so he got to come and get the other areas, right?
So the second
little setup that would turn the setback, turn setup, is my home church, when I finally get the book published, it was a lady named Esther. She was the third-party printer that they had taken my book to. She saw my name and number, called me personally. Normally they don't do that, but apparently the people hadn't paid her. She called me, and I was grateful. I go and see her. Her name is Esther. Let's just take that. For such a time as this, that woman came into my life. I can't even make this up, Alicia.
I know.
It's too real and too God. So
I
calls me. I go and meet with her. She tells me what the final cost of the book is. And when I tell you it was less than half of what I was paying the original printer, because now instead of going to a third party, I'm dealing directly with the printer. So she prints the books. I'm excited. I go to my home church so I can give them their order because they had originally said they would buy 1,000 planners from me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's setback number three. I get there. My pastor at the time, I had been serving. I was on three different ministries. I was a faithful tither in a store.
Mm-hmm.
I had met with the pastor, the book operator, and the executive pastor long before the book came out. They ended up telling me that my pastor had purchased some planners from another company.
Oh, my goodness.
And they no longer had plans to purchase mine. Here I
was
with 5,000 books, 1,000 of which they were going to kick off with selling and getting them at the church. And now they no longer want to buy them. I was paralyzed, Allie. That's when depression is on a downward spiral. And, and I really didn't know how to catch my breath, really. And a friend of mine called me up and told me he wanted to take me out to see, it was day after it had rained, he wanted to take me to this mountain, and he looked out and he said, Mara, God's word said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell that mountain to move.
Mm-hmm.
He said, your books
mm-hmm.
are going to do much bigger things for the kingdom. So I believed him, but I still had no proof at that time. And sure enough, that week I got a postcard in the mail telling me about a full gospel Baptist conference taking place in Arizona. My
mm-hmm.
best friend and I loaded up my truck. We drove to Arizona, and I sold out of every book that I had with me.
Wow.
Because what I realized, Allie, it was dozens of churches there, hundreds of people, different pastors from different states and countries.
Goodness.
God knew that I had an Inglewood, California mentality, and he was trying to give me a United States, no, an international vision. My baby, as a result of my church closing their door to my book, allowed me to get in 22 states and 2 countries because God didn't want no man of glory in what he was trying to do, and he knew I would stay in my box, stay in that city, stay in that church, and not move outside the four walls. But when
oh
God
goodness.
Sets you up for success,
yes.
baby, you can't even handle it, Allie. You can't
no.
handle it.
No.
So there is
no.
life after layoff. There
yes.
is life after setbacks. There is life after disappointment. There is life after depression. There
yes.
is life when somebody tells you no 10 and 20 times, and finally the 35th time they say yes. Yeah. There is life after
yes.
somebody needs to do something and reneges on that promise. There is life when it looks like it is dead, it is dormant, it is stagnant, it is not moving. There is life. All you have to do is breathe through it. Push, push,
persevere.
Push, and trust the dad who tells you, I got you.
Oh, see, you know what? You just hit me right there over the head with that one because while I was getting laid off, what was clearly in my spirit when I was getting the bomb laid on me. God said, I got you. In those exact words, I got you. And you know what? You could take that to the bank.
Yes, you can.
You could take that to the bank.
That ain't gonna bounce. That ain't gonna bounce. Ain't no insufficient funds coming back. Ain't no insufficient favor coming back. Ain't no insufficient nothing coming back.
I know it. So you know what? I want you to speak to the fact that despite a person's circumstances, how important is it for a person? Because you were in the middle of some circumstances that, like you said, you were depressed about it. But despite those set of circumstances, you got a word from your friend. And how important is it for a person to not allow their circumstances to dictate their journey?
Okay, I will say this, and I think this is probably the most simplistic piece of advice I can give on that. Where your mind goes, your body will follow.
That's good.
Your thoughts are so fertile. Your thoughts are so fertile. If you dwell on what's wrong and you dwell on what's not right and you dwell on what you don't have and who you ain't got and where you are not, if you dwell on that, I promise you, that black abyss will welcome you in with open arms. Darkness, depression, defeat, disappointment, it will welcome you in, sucking you in willingly. But if you say, in the midst of a storm, all right now, that's the best you got, I'm going to bend and snap back like a palm tree. Oh, you want to throw a tornado at me? You see them houses blowing by? Well, I'm like a palm tree. My roots are planted so deep that I will bend and I will snap back. When you try to throw the kitchen sink at me and you try to throw debt at me or you try to throw defeat at me, negativity at me, a divorce at me, depression at me, I'm laid off at me, all I'm going to tell you is I'm going to have my roots planted so deep into daddy's will and his word that no matter what you say to me, it may make me bend over a little bit, but at the end, I'm going to snap back. I'm going to get back in my erect position, knowing and trusting that if I just allow my thoughts to say, I can, I will, I am, I'm already walking in it. I'm already doing it. And this just means that something better is coming, something bigger is coming, somebody better is coming, some other opportunity that I never would have seen had I stayed behind that desk or stayed in that office. You would have never reached the airwaves. You would have never been a blogger reaching the multitude. Had you been in that position, you would have never been in a position to be a bridge for those that need to have a message carried to the other side to empower those that are lost, those that are looking, those that are seeking, those that feel like they got scales on their eyes. God has to do a shift in your life.
Yes, he did.
How we handle the shift is how we share with daddy how mature we are. Shift happens. How we handle the shift is how we show daddy how mature we are. Our maturity in Christ is never based on how old we are or how long we've been in the church.
Yeah.
Our maturity in Christ is only determined about how well we handle the opposition, the challenge.
That's good, right? That's a word right there for somebody. And I'm going to tell you, I've said this before, that I strongly, strongly believe in my heart, and nobody can tell me different, that what made all the difference in where I am now was how I handled that whole situation.
Yeah.
Because I made the decision in that moment to accept peace and walk in the peace that God has already given us.
Yeah.
And to tap into it and not let that be a negative circumstance to dictate my future, that I believe really made all the difference of me being able to, first of all, hear from the Holy Spirit. And what people have to understand and know is that your roots have to be deep in order to stay connected to the vine.
Yes.
The vine is our Father.
Yes.
You know, that
yes.
has to happen. That's why the roots are so deep, because they have to stay connected. And when
yes.
you know, when you uproot a plant, it withers and dies.
It does. You got to get it to some water and some dirt real quick.
Mm-hmm.
If you take it up, if you uproot it and you want to replant it, you can't let it just sit there. You
yeah.
can't sit the
yeah.
plant on a countertop and expect it to be okay in a day or two when you're ready to put it in some soil. That means you cannot, just like we can't do that with a plant, we can't go to church on Sunday only and expect God to bless us with all the things that we're struggling with and all the challenges that come against us every day, and the traffic and the setback and the layoff and the downsizing. If you only going in to get into the roots once a week, you put that plant in some dirt once a week and water it once a week on Sunday, hallelujah, I'm talking to somebody. But all those other days, you letting it sit on the counter.
Yeah,
you letting the Bible collect dust. It doesn't even get pulled out. You don't even touch the Bible app on your phone until it's Sunday, because you believe, like that plant, it's going to survive through the week because God's got you. Yeah, he got you. But there's some things that you could avoid in your life, some situations and setbacks you could avoid in your day if you would just spend some time with him. He waits every day to talk to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I want you to share this story, and you'll know what I'm talking about. It's related to our gifts and what God has anointed us with, because I wanted you to share with us about when you realized that you had that ability to teach others, because I love that story and how that led to, you know, the contest and all of that. I wanted you to share that story, so please go ahead and share that with
I
our
sure
listeners.
I sure will. Okay, so I got to take y'all back a little bit. I'm not going to even state the year. Well, I might end up having to state the year, but when I was in high school, I had a terrible memory. Now, I had a terrible memory for some, and I'll be very raw and very honest. I shared it with my sister, and I have released on sharing it with the public. Back in the day, I had a little extracurricular activity. I dabbled in marijuana, and it really did a number on my memory. And so I had a hard time trying to retain and remember information. Well, one day I was in a history class, and we were taking a big Constitution or history test, and I had written a rhyme about everything that we were going to be tested on. So while we were taking the test, I was bobbing my head, and I'm doing it because I know every answer, because I've created a rhyme and a rap, and I know, I mean, I tell you everything. If I want to learn something, I put it in a rhyme. So when I finished, the teacher told me, she came over to me, she says, "What music were you thinking about in your mind? You just kept moving your head." I said, "Well, I wrote a rap, a rhyme about the entire Constitution and the lessons you've been teaching us." And she didn't understand. I said, "Well, I could show you better than I could tell you." So I stood up in front of the class, and Allie, I began to spew out, or spit, as they say in poet language. I spit out this rap, and I watched light bulbs go on.
Wow.
I watched people going, oh, that's what I put. And then I saw others saying, "Oh, man, I got that one wrong." Well, the more I rapped and rhymed, the more engaged the audience became and the more excited they came. And I knew in that moment that's a way that's being left on the left to waste, that people can be engaged and learn.
Yeah,
that, and
exactly.
Children need. People learn different ways, and that was the way that I needed to learn, and it ended up helping other people. As a result of that, that teacher took it a step further. She went to the music director, told him about my talent. He said he wanted to put together a rap team to do a rap album. Now, let me paint the picture. We were in inner city school on the south side of Chicago in a city called Augel Garden. It's a little community of projects. 10-block mm-hmm. radius, everything you needed, the drugstore, the currency exchange, because they ain't have no bank, they ain't have no grocery store. They had a liquor store. They had a currency exchange so they could steal all your money. They had
right.
a little corner store with the candy lady. It was uh-huh. real, just, you know, basic, everything you needed right in that community. So you never expand your mind. So you never see what was possible. So you
wow.
never dream big. You saw everything you needed right there. You saw a bus.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see fancy cars. You didn't see taxi cabs. You saw a bus. So these were the, and that was the environment. When you walked up to the school, you had to hold your nose or put your nose inside your shirt. You may ask why, because they happened to have built that high school on top of a dump, because I believe they thought nothing but trash would attend. But how many of you know that a rose can grow from the concrete, and out of the stench
mm-hmm.
of the stinkiness, something special can arise? So we had to go through that just to get into the building. You had
wow.
to smell that to get into the building. So this unlikely a school. To do a rap album was unheard of. It
right,
had never
right.
been done before. Like, seriously? But my teacher believed he could do it.
Uh-huh.
We went to the studio. We stayed up late. I gave up the drugs. I'm in the studio. I'm rapping. Everything's going beautiful. We finished the album. It's called Get Live 83. Just gave away the year. Those that called it, kept it. Those that missed it, yay! Anyway, we do this album. It is so trailblazing that the media outlets get wind of it. So first Chicago Sun-Times, then Chicago Tribune, then all the radio stations.
Wow.
So we are these high school students going from radio station to radio station to radio station doing interviews. A little girl who had roaches crawling on her and food stamps, which we call funny money because it looked like Monopoly money. That's the circumstances that I grew up in, with dysfunctional family and alcoholic parents and cussing and fussing and all of that, and concrete in your backyard instead of dirt or grass. I am now being interviewed by celebrity radio show hosts, and I'm being on television shows, and I'm in newspapers and magazines, and we're signing autographs that lines are wrapped around the building at record stores, because God had a plan for my life before I was born. He knew where I'd be. So out of that particular project, Get Live 83 was so successful. The fundraising efforts were enormous. There was a contest, Curtis Blow,
he's rap
Curtis
history.
Curtis Blow doing a contest, nationwide search for some rappers. Ended up, my teacher submitted, myself and a couple of other people, and we actually got it.
Mm-hmm.
That particular opportunity to do a rap to the wise with Curtis Blow ended up paying my way to college.
Wow. See, that
now,
you can't even make that up.
I can't make it up. Now, what's significant about that, paying my way to get into college, was my mother, who was raising all of us by herself, my sister was graduating from 8th grade. I was graduating from 12th grade. My brother was graduating from med school, and she had already made it extremely clear to me, emphatic, you cannot go to college. You need to take up a trade. You need to, since you're tight, you could be a secretary, but I cannot afford to send you. Your brother is going to be a doctor. This will be the first doctor in our family, and I can't do that for you. I can't send you to college like your two older sisters and your brother. I cannot do that for you. But how many of you know God will make a way out of no way?
Yes.
He will show you the ram in the bush. Curtis Blow became my ram in the bush. I took that check, and I was able to pay my first year in college with that, and then I ended up signing up for the loan, and my mother never even knew it, and I ended up going to college on that. And paid
powerful.
My loans off, by the way. When I graduated, within 3 years, my loans were completely paid off.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. When I heard that, people, it blew me away. Because, and it's true, because I looked up the album on YouTube, guys. So it is true. It's still out there and available for you to look up on YouTube, called Get Live 83, and you will hear Mara rapping on it.
My name is Mara. They call me Gail. Oh, my gosh, it's so funny.
When I heard it, I cracked up. It was so funny. But that is just, that story in itself is so powerful. You just, when God has a plan, and that takes me to Jeremiah 29:11.
I know
God
the plan that I have for you.
He has
plans
for you.
Plans for you. Plans to bring about an expected end, which means in the end, you win. You can fast forward through the show, folks. Just fast forward. See the end score. You win. Game over. Champion,
game
victor,
over.
Success.
That's right. You know, Right now, we're going to kind of pause and take a short station break, and then we're going to come back and just pick up where we left off because this is just too good to end. We have to continue going with this. But if you want to call in and just speak with our special guest tonight, you can call us at 347-324-5246. And make sure that you press the number one to be added in our on-air host queue. I'm Allie, and I'm joined by my special guest, actress, author, creative visionary, and midwife, Ms. Mara Gale. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, so please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents There Is Life After Layoff. We want to take a moment and thank tonight's sponsor, Gerontological Marketing Concepts. And we want to thank all of our listeners who are continuing to join us and for our new listeners as we enter into this awesome, awesome year 2015. Now, if you're interested in learning how you can become a guest on our show, please give us a call at 678-856-7603, and please leave your full name and contact information. If you're also interested in learning how you can be a financial sponsor on the show, which will include you being a guest, also contact us at 678-856-7603, and please address your inquiry to Melinda Davis. Okay, we're going to return back. This is an awesome show. You got time to call a friend, and they can call in too, 347-324-5246. Thank you for tuning in. This is Atlanta Life Radio Presents There's Life After Layoff. And now back to our program.
Failure.
All right, we're back. Yes, I'm back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And we are joined tonight by our anointed, blessed guest, Ms. Mara Gale, and she has just blown this show up. I'm so pumped right now. So I want to pick up with our conversation. You kind of alluded to what it meant, what you mean when you say that you're a midwife, but I also read in your bio something that was really interesting to me and stood out, and I wanted to kind of talk about that. Your bio reads that you are an actor's whisperer. So can you talk to, and I mean, that to me was so interesting. I was like, wow, what's that all about? And so can you explain what that is, and also explain to us what it means, tell us what it meant for you to successfully fuse your passion, or how did you fuse your passion for the arts and ministry to motivate others?
Sure, no problem. Okay, so an actor's whisperer, it started because when I direct or I coach people when they're acting, I generally, especially if it's a group, even if it's not a group, I kind of walk over to the person, I whisper some instructions, and then people get to watch the metamorphosis. They get to watch the person take the note, and what they do with the note that I say to them in their ear in a real subtle, sincere fashion, what I do is I tap into things that I either know or that I believe could stimulate a pattern of thought or cause them to revisit a circumstance or a situation. And I set it up so that it is personal and poignant to whatever it is that they're actually talking about. So when I walk up to them, like if somebody comes in the room, we were doing a couple of actors workshops and there's 20 people in the room, and I don't want to embarrass anybody if they've made a choice that I didn't think fit the line. So I'd walk up to them, I'd whisper a couple of things, I'd ask them a question or two, and then I'd say, do it this way, make it completely the opposite way that you were doing it, and let me see what you got, or something like that. The next thing that we would then see is a person that is unashamed, uninhibited, they've gotten out of their head, and they've just taken the instruction and the note, and they've applied it. And so that's caused some aha moments. So people were like, you are actor whisperer, like the dog whisperer, you know. And so the name just kind of stuck because I do it everywhere I go if I'm directing or coaching. So that's one. And then you asked me how I was able to fuse my passion with my ministry. Is that the question?
Right.
Okay,
with
so
your art, with the arts and the ministry, right.
Okay, so I created a phrase. I love words. I'm in love with words. I'm in a love relationship with words. I created a phrase called men artistry. If I could have married words, I would have. It's called men artistry, and that's a combination of ministry and art.
Wow,
because
that's
I believe. And that was just God gave me that. He gives me all these little phrases. So I believe that if we could amplify the word and make the word visible for people to see, not just, you know, me being a great Christian and me sowing in your life or encouraging you, but dramatically taking my gifts and talents of acting and of writing and of spoken word poetry and of singing and of teaching and put it in evangelism and put it all in a gumbo pot, you know, a big pot on a kitchen stove, stir it all up, and then present something that combines all of it. When I did that for the very first time, excuse me, the results were so overwhelming, it almost frightened me to go forward. I produced a project called She Speaks, and She Speaks is a biblical series. I bring different women of the word to life on stage. So you get a visit from the woman with the issue of blood. You get a visit from the woman at the well. So all of these different Bible stories, they were speaking to me. I was reading through the Bible in a year for my third or fourth time at the time. And as I was reading through it, I was reading what was written on the page, but I was hearing why that woman with the issue of blood left her house at that time, or why, you know, against all odds, when people were whispering about her and her issue and bleeding, why she was able to still persevere and make it down the street, why the woman ended up touching the hem of his garment and why he didn't see her, why did she go around the back, how, because people like to be seen by the men and women of God and the prophets that come to the church, but this woman didn't need to be seen. She wanted to touch him. So she didn't care if he saw her. She had to go around the back because it was so crowded. And the reason she touched the hem is because she had to be crawling. So she wanted it so desperately. My thought became, how bad do you want it? And so out of that came this writing. I started writing. The Holy Spirit was speaking. And then when I looked back, it was a 45-minute show.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I would love to see that.
Oh, my God. It takes you, Allie, from the Levitical law to the reality of how it relates to man and woman, how there aren't any cell phones in the modern day. She couldn't just call somebody. She couldn't be with anybody. Her kids, she couldn't sit. If she had kids, she couldn't sit where her kids sat. Her husband couldn't sit where she sat because there was a law that if you were bleeding, you couldn't touch anybody. You couldn't touch anything. So imagine if she had kids and her kid had hurt herself. Her kid would come to her, Mommy, Mommy, hold me. I caught my leg, and she couldn't even touch her. Or the kid would be clean. So all of these things were clearly coming to me, and I launched this production called She Speaks under the arm of Men Artistry, and it took off.
Wow.
And the audience members were ages 7 to over 70, and response was the same. I've never witnessed a visitation from a Bible character in my life. Pastors were saying, and I've got testimonies of pastors on tape, and I've got them on my, matter of fact, I'll upload that to YouTube for the audience and you to watch. But pastors were saying, I've preached about that woman hundreds of times, and never once did I actually visually see her and understand her in that way. But I mentioned that lady because when we talked about, I said, God has already finished, God has given birth to your solution before you became pregnant with a problem. In that particular story, there was a little 12-year-old girl who Jesus was going to see about. He was on his way to that little girl. That's how the woman with the issue of blood got healed, which means that little girl had to be born with that sickness. She had to be dying in order for Jesus to pass by that woman's hometown. So he already knew. It's like, like I said, your solution, her solution was born when she got the illness. 12 years that little girl was, and here she was with an issue for 12 years. Jesus had to go and heal that girl in order for her to get her healing.
Oh, my gosh. Whew. Okay, my brain is about to explode. Okay.
He Yes,
wow.
But that's what does. He will do that on our behalf, though, Allie.
Oh,
he does that
yes.
on our behalf. We can see modern-day miracles if we open our eyes and we look for them, if we live in expectation mode, if we walk around saying, God, I don't know what you're going to do today, but I know it's going to be awesome. If we walk around
yes.
saying, I'm going to open my mind today, God, I'm expecting it. I'm already anticipating.
Oh,
what you going to
wow.
use me to speak through today? Where can I give a word of encouragement? In the grocery store when people are complaining, Allie, you know what I say? I say, you know what? It's so good that we could stand in the grocery store. There's some people can't even walk.
Exactly.
It's so good that I could stand in the store and I got some money to buy my groceries. There's some people who are on the street begging for it. And you
exactly.
change the
yes,
perspective
ma'am.
Right in that moment. Now, there are some mm-hmm. that will still be angry with you. They'll still
yeah.
have an attitude. Because if your mind is made up to be mean, I trust me, Allie, I ain't going to be able to change it. But then there are those who would like to make a better choice. And
yes.
in that moment that I say that out loud, it reminds them, I
yes.
should be in line doing that. I
right.
should trust God in all situations.
I should
take this setback and this delay as God's trying to prohibit or prevent me from getting in a car accident, or he's trying to tell me stay here a little bit longer because some thief is about to walk down the street and he's going to steal your purse. But because we're so anxious
right.
to get out of the grocery store line and we're so anxious to get through with whatever it is we think we're supposed to be doing, we don't realize God's just setting up miracles for us to get to where we need to be in the way we need to be there.
Exactly. And you know what? That is so true because I started realizing that, like when I'm driving, you know, the people, that road rage is a terrible
yes.
thing. But I started realizing that, you know, when I'm in a hurry and something unexpected is in my way or whatever, I started, and it's hard to get to that point because our first
yeah.
thing is to go to our emotions and our feelings and let that have a vote. But what I started realizing was that, you know what, God is probably saving me from an accident up the street. Up the road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so there's a blessing in that, you know, and that's hard to do to get into that mindset, but it's not impossible. And,
okay.
you know, it doesn't take much to give somebody a compliment, like in a grocery
yes.
store and tell them, oh, well, you know, I appreciate you. And I've done that before. And the young lady who I said it to, you know, she was having trouble with, you know, in line or whatever, and she was like, thank you
yeah.
for your patience. And I just blessed her, and I said, you know what, I so appreciate you and your smile. And she said, you just made my day. And see, it doesn't
yes.
matter that much.
It doesn't. I tell people, I'll say, hey, beautiful, in a bank, hey, beautiful, in a store, and people light up like I just told them, you
mm-hmm.
won the lottery. You know, that's how they light up. But it's these little bitty things that can actually
yeah.
affect somebody's whole day. We don't
yeah.
know how people go through life without somebody encouraging them, complimenting them, or saying thank you. I was on a plane. I'm not going to digress too long, but I was on a plane
mm-hmm.
From Arizona, New Year's Eve, and a lady, she had two kids, and they were kicking the seat, and she was like, I'm so sorry. My son is autistic. I said, ma'am, you don't have to apologize. Kids will be kids. I said,
right.
I said, don't worry about it. She says, I just feel so stressed. I said, listen. I said, you have two children. There are people who wish they had kids. I said,
yeah.
nobody's being killed. Nobody's bleeding. Nobody's going to be hurt. Yeah, they may lose a little sleep on the airplane, but it's only a 3-hour-and-a-half plane ride, so they'll get home. They'll be able to get into bed. I said, but it's okay. I said, it's okay. And I watched her eyes well up with tears because in that
mm-hmm.
moment of complete, utter embarrassment, frustration, and just probably depletion, I spoke a word to her and gave her permission to just sit back and let the kids be kids.
Be kids. Wow. You spoke to somebody. You spoke to me.
Mm.
I got a 6-year-old.
Yes. It happens.
It happens.
It happens. And we want to feel so embarrassed, like, please stop. Don't kick that. Don't jump on that. Don't do this. They're six.
Yeah,
they're
exactly. And kids are going to be kids, you know.
They're
but you know what?
Now, that don't mean you need to have baby kids. Now, we are not giving you permission
right.
to have baby
no,
kids.
No, we're
kids
not.
Jumping
we're
back
not.
At people and hit people and talking back. But what we are saying is when a kid jumps and a kid runs and a kid laughs and a kid
mm-hmm.
plays, a kid is being a kid. God created them like that. And they are
right.
precious in his sight. And he never quenches their enthusiasm. And we kill, steal, and destroy like the devil when a kid comes into a room. And before we can say, I love you or hug them, we're like, why did you do that? Why are you wearing that? What are you saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have killed and stolen their joy of that moment. And they'll never get it back. And
yeah.
so then they'll begin to look at their parents with, you know, with a question like, am I okay? Am I acceptable? Am I dressed all right? Do I look okay?
And we don't ever want our kids to doubt, because they come in with confidence and we strip it away. That's why when you're 5 years old, you're creative, you're imaginative, you're a dreamer. You could do anything. You could twirl and the world is beautiful and you never worry about money or anything because you just know your daddy's got it. Well, we as adults and spiritual Christians, we should believe that we can twirl, we can imagine, we can dream, we can plan, we can launch because we know that our daddy's got us. And if we start having that kind of a mindset, Allie, how much will we get done if we take the limits off of God and just go for all that he wants to give us and say, Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. I don't have to have every step in order. Give me enough light for the step I'm on, and I'll walk on that step. I'll keep walking on that step. And if I have enough for just today, and I trust that just for today you're going to give me the food and the instructions that I need, and other people will come into my path, because you won't close a door that I'm supposed to go in, and you won't open a window that I'm not supposed to go into. So if I would just trust you and follow you, with that childlike faith, that little five-year-old girl, I went to a vision board event, and we tapped into our five-year-old girl, and we spoke some things to that five-year-old to let her know that everything was going to be okay. And then the facilitator said, allow that five-year-old girl to speak some things to you. And my five-year-old girl and me said, Mara, dream again, dream bigger. Dream and imagine again, and just have fun with everything you do. You know, just explore. Be curious again. That's what my five-year-old told me, and I told my five-year-old, it's going to be great. Your situation and your circumstance right now may look bleak, but, man, life is going to get gooder. That's bad English, but it's good theology. You're going to be amazing. You're going to be a success. You're going to speak life to people. People are going to give birth to destiny because of you, and I empowered her. Five-year-old self, and she empowered me, my grown self.
Oh, that's powerful.
And we left there the better. We both left there the better. So the little girl inside of me was tap dancing and hopscotching, and the grown-up girl in me had her mind made up that this year will be, I guarantee, the best year
of
my life so far.
I received
that. And your life so far.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. And that leads me to want to talk about the importance of people achieving their goals and about setting a due date. I definitely wanted you to share about what that is.
You got it. Okay, so this is the premise. When a woman becomes pregnant, you are given a due date. Mm-hmm. You're not given a due date when you think you're pregnant. You're given a due date when it has been determined that you are, in fact, with child. And so I use that same analogy. When someone comes to me and says they want to write a book or they want to produce a CD or they want to launch a business or they want to, you know, do a 501c3, I say, okay, so when are you planning to get it done? Oh, I don't know. Okay, then you're not pregnant. It's a concept. It's a thought. When you figure out that you're really pregnant, come back and see me, because then I can be your midwife and help. And they're like, whoa, kind of cold. And I go, no. It'll be a waste of my time while you make up your mind on if you do or do not want to do a thing. Because there are people that want to write a book, have been writing a book for 10 and 15 and 20 years. And then there are those who sit down. I wrote my first book, Anointed Agenda, I wrote while I was in Barbados. So it was a beautiful setting. I could just allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me and write. Look at the water. It was gorgeous. Beyond Blessed, I wrote in my trailer while I was shooting Their Eyes Were Watching God, and I wrote it in 24 days. And I've sold over 10,000 copies just from the back of my trunk. And I say I say that to say, when it's your time to write a book, you will write a book. When you're really pregnant with something to say, and when there's something of value that has to go forth and the right support system is around you, you will give birth. But only when you're ready to do that. Not when you're saying, oh, it's all in my mind. I got it. It's up here. It's not on paper. It's not on a computer. It's just like a vacation. Allie, do you ever say I'm going on a vacation and never plan for the vacation, never put it on the calendar, never set aside some money to be able to go on a pick
you
a
won't
location?
Go.
You know, you're
You'll
not going to
go.
I tell people, I got friends who say, I can't afford to take no vacation. I said, and you never will be able to, because out of your mouth flows the abundance. I said, you just said you can't afford to, so you never will be able to. Oh, Mara, that's cold. Absolutely, it's cold, but it's the truth. Truth shall set you free. I said, if you say, I am working progressively toward going on a vacation, I'm going to pack a suitcase in faith that I'm going to save the money needed to be able to go on this vacation, guess what's going to happen for that person?
You're going
to
go on vacation.
That person's going to go on a vacation.
Yes. Yes. I receive
that. If you think
that.
It lacks, if you think you can't, if you think you don't have enough, trust me, whatever you think, whatever it is, you got.
People don't understand. I've said this so many times, that there's so much power behind your words. And it's not easy, because, we have been so conditioned to think a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, from whatever, our environment, circumstances, family, whatever the case is. But it's not impossible. Keep your mind stayed on God.
Yes. And Allie, listen to this. When God wanted there to be light, he didn't think about light. He ain't pray about light. He ain't write about light.
He said, let there be.
He said, let there be light.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. He sure did.
That's what he did. He spoke it. So if you speak the word works. It cannot lie. It cannot return void. It cannot be defeated. The word is the word. If you speak it, and then you just put your little feet with it, you just put your feet to faith, because faith activates favor. So if you have the faith to believe it'll happen, the favor will start opening up doors like you're at an airport where the door is automatically open. I don't have to touch the knob. All I have to do is walk towards the door. The door will open for you. He said if you knock,
I will
the
answer.
Door will be open.
And it will open.
If you speak, you will find. So that's his word. So do you think he's playing a full trick on us and that he's lying about what he wants to do for you and your life and your family and your finances and your future? He is not a liar. He's not a man that he could lie. One, and God allows the dirt. Every single year there are flowers planted in the backyard, and they die in the winter because it's cold. They die. But every spring they're dead. Their cousins push past their dead cousins, and the flowers rise again because those flowers know that if I can just make it to the top of the soil, because underneath the soil – there's some stuff that's going on, and they know if I can just make it up the top of the soil, the sun is going to bless me and I'm going to bloom.
That's
so
right.
Imagine if we just took that little bit of nugget.
Wow.
The sun is going to bless me and I'm going to bloom.
Woo. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we, you know what? You're about to make me shout.
Girl, because he's good like that. But
he's
that's
so
the
good.
Power, Alice. We both understand how amazing he is. And all we want you all to do, listening audience, for those that already know, this is confirmation, and hopefully it'll push you and thrust you into this next year, 2015, like never before. But for those of you who have been wondering, who have been searching, who have been trying to figure it out, we're here to tell you God's got the answer and the solution. God's got everything you need. He's got the end and the beginning. All you have to do is trust him. You stand on his word. You sit and spend some time with him, not just on Sundays. You don't just go to work one day a week. You don't just eat one day a week. So don't just go to church on Sunday and consider that's your Christian duty. Actually spend some time with him every single day. Even if you start off with just giving me five on it, spend 5 minutes on him. Those 5 minutes will be the best 5 minutes of your life. And what you'll find out is over time you're going to watch, man, when you don't spend that 5 minutes with him, everything will frustrate you. Traffic will frustrate you. Kids will frustrate you. Husband or wives will frustrate you. Then when you got bills, that'll frustrate you. Everything will frustrate you. But if you take some time and you give it to him, he'll give you back a reward for it. He'll give you more. You give him five, he'll give you 5 days of peace. You know, he multiplies naturally. Once you deposit into him, he can't just give you back an average and an ordinary. He has to give you an extraordinary. He has to give you an abundant. He has to give you a supernatural kind of blessing. So that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to acknowledge him. He wants us to praise him and trust him. And then he wants us to be a light for other people so that they can see him through us. That's it.
Absolutely. And you know what? I have to add this because he has the beginning and he knows the end, the beginning and the end, but people don't give up in the middle.
Don't
give up in the middle.
Don't.
Because you have to push past whatever may come at you in the middle to get to the end.
And, Allie, you just said a very important part. Most of the time when you're in the middle, people, you're really three-fourths of the way. The middle, when you start feeling like I can't go any further, you're really three-fourths of the way. That means you're further past the beginning and closer to the end. And if in that moment, if the devil can steal your baby, can steal your vision, can steal your plans, can steal that job or that joy that you have, then he wins. And that three-fourths of the struggle that you went through would have been for nothing. It would have been
in
vain. But if you could just push that last centimeter, that last few moments when a woman is about to actually give birth, it's the closest she is to death. Did you know that? Because all of her pores
I've
are wide
that.
Open and she's exposed. And so when you're exposed like that, the devil, he knows your purpose. You're pregnant with purpose at the same time that God disseminates the message. So the devil's job is to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. So if he can snatch that kid, snatch that idea, snatch that book, snatch that CD, snatch that business, snatch that adoption out of your hands right before it takes place. Then he's won before he even begins.
Wow.
Because you'll be too afraid to do it the next time.
Right. That's
and then
exactly
you're
going
to share the story, and somebody's going to be discouraged. But if you tell them, when all systems said no, God said go, I went forward, and this is the testimony. That's how people get blessed. That's how lives are changed. That's how people end up walking with them. But I'm going to shut up because it looks like we're running out of time. I'm mad.
You know what?
I just looked at the clock. Woo, I'm mad.
That's okay. That is okay. We got to have you back because, oh, my gosh, you have blessed me so. But I want you to please let our listeners know how we can get a copy, number one, of The Anointed Agenda and a copy of your autobiography, Beyond Blessed.
Absolutely, and that'll take me into the other thing. You can get any of my product at mauragale.com. I'm going to spell it Maura, M-A-U-R-A, Gale, G-A-L-E. That's Gale like shoes on sale, no Y, no I. At mauragale.com, you can get my books, you can get my CD, my Anointed Agenda, which will help you plan with purpose for this next year because there's some great things God wants to do with you. Also, at that website are all of my social media links. So instead of sharing with you at Mauragale on Facebook and Mauragale on Instagram, it's all on the website. Connect with me on there. I'd love to hear what's going on in your life, and I'd love to assist you with giving birth to your visions, your dreams, and your ideas. And Allie, you are amazing. You and Melinda are the bomb diggity. Thank you for allowing me an opportunity to share.
Thank you. And you know what? We're going to have you back on to kind of give a six-month checkup to our listeners, you know, see where they're at in their pregnancy.
Thank you. Because they should be about ready to deliver by then. So some of y'all get pregnant now. Get pregnant now so y'all can be ready to give birth soon.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of scripture, but I also wanted to share this one scripture that really came to mind when I was thinking about the show this night tonight, and that's Habakkuk 2:2.
Right.
And the Lord answered
plain.
Me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets that he may run that readeth it. So, you know, guys, this is the time. This is the time of year when most people make resolutions and set goals for themselves. So do you have a vision for your life? Ask yourself that question. Do you know what you're going to want to do or what you want to do, you're going to do with your life? So write it down. Give it some serious thought and pray about it if you're not sure. God will give you the answer. And, you know, personally speaking, when I felt as though I was doing, you know, what God had not purposed for my life, I prayed and I asked him to show me my purpose, and he did.
He
showed me in the form of a layoff, but that's okay because I wasn't supposed to be there any longer. He had to give me a nudge to move past that. So, you know, please just do a survey of your life and where you're at and what is it that you want to do. You know, what is it that you feel like you're anointed to do, where your passion is, and do it afraid.
And like you said, yes, do it afraid is a powerful statement. I use that all the time. And writing it down somehow solidifies some things. I try to tell people it's cool to plan with things on your electronic tablets and your phones, and I do that. But I use my agenda, and you should use some kind of a planner. I suggest my scriptures and quotes in it. But writing it down allows you to see it. It allows you to use your mobile skills to write it, which helps you to put it before you every single week, and you can cross it out to say you've done that. So write it down. We want you to be your best self. We want
absolutely.
You to live your best life. We want you to succeed.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, that's some food. You got a lot of good nuggets, people, to take away tonight from tonight's show. You had a lot to chew on. So let's start setting some due dates. You know, I'm at the top of the list. I'm setting some due dates in my life, and you can do it. We believe in you. We're proud of you, and we sincerely thank you for joining us each and every week. And we don't take it for granted that you've chosen to spend this time with us. And, you know, we will return next week with another powerful and inspiring show. Next week, my guest will be Melissa Alaba. And she will bless you just as much as Ms. Maura Gale has blessed us this evening. So until next time, on behalf of Mel D and myself and the entire There's Life After Layoff Radio team, we say thank you for joining us. And we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
I'm not giving
in you, Lord. My faith in, even when it seems, that's when you look, that's when your breakthrough will begin. Failure. Known has come from you alone.